place in the Old Testament do I find a scripture, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you?
Right.
See, God loves sinners, but he hates sin.
Amen.
So the problem is he wants to get close to people, but until the sin issue is taken care of, he can't.
Right.
We can read about him. We can hear all kinds of messages preached. We can accept him as our Savior. But we gotta cleanse ourselves before we can get close to him. I'm talking about really close to him.
Amen.
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 And then if you turn to Ephesians, the third chapter. And verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man.
Amen.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints,
Amen.
Not just some, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And then two more scriptures. 1 Peter, the first chapter. First Peter 1, starting in verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. The Spirit of Christ that was in the Old Testament prophets did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So all of this prophesying in the Old Testament by prophets who had the Spirit of Jesus within them were talking about the things that they didn't have access to, the angels didn't have access to, but we have access to today.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One more scripture in Luke chapter 1, verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. We're talking about John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Why? The same reason the Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Jesus within them in order to do a work, empowered to do a work. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning, God, and upon the hearers of your word. Make a difference in our lives, strengthen us, revive us. God, give us information that'll stay not only in our mind, but our hearts as well. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We read here of the prophets of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ who would prepare the way for the Lord. Now, what I want you to see is John the Baptist was not filled with the Holy Ghost as we are filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It said, and he shall go before God in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Some think that the people had the Holy Ghost before the Holy Ghost was poured out. Well, that just isn't true. Yes, they were empowered by the Holy Ghost in order to prophesy and do the works that God wanted them to do in the Old Testament. Well, where is the Old Testament? The Old Testament was all of what we recognize as the Old Testament, but it also included the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because the New Testament really didn't, well, you couldn't read the will of God until God died and rose again, you see. So even in the Gospels, we find there's no plan of salvation in the Gospels because we couldn't read the will. But the real will was read on the day of Pentecost. And Peter was the executor of Jesus' estate. And he read the will to the whole world. Amen. The Spirit of God moved on John the Baptist as well as Old Testament prophets for power and for function. The Spirit was in those prophets when they prophesied and when they performed miracles, like the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:11. But this was not a residency of the Holy Ghost that gave them a new nature. See, one of the greatest aspects of being filled with the Holy Ghost is now we have a new nature. We don't want to do what we used to do, and we want to do what God wants us to do. We can't do that simply because I've determined I'm going to live for God. God knew that wouldn't work. So he gave us his Spirit not only for function, but it changes our nature. He took the old heart out and put a new heart and caused us to walk in his statutes according to Ezekiel 36:26. And just like the Holy Ghost moved on Samson for function, it was the anointing power that gave power as God directed at certain times for the Old Testament prophets. And the Holy Ghost that was poured out on the day of Pentecost was a transforming power that stays with us even after our death. So folks, if you're wondering, did the Holy Ghost leave me? It hasn't. You just have to revive, stir up what is within us, because once God takes up residency, he's not moving out. Hallelujah. Now, evil spirits can be cast out. But I'm telling you what, once God moves in, he is not moving out, folks. If the Lord tarries and I take my last breath, God's not moving out. Amen. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in us. So when we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we have the transportation to heaven for a brand new body. I'm glad I got my ticket punched, folks. This is not true of the Old Testament prophets. The Spirit came on them, and then they uttered, and they moved, and they displayed supernatural things for a time, for a season, for a direction from God. But that power was temporary power, But when we get the Holy Ghost, it moves in and does not leave us. And it isn't temporary power, because you got the Holy Ghost that first year, you can do great things. But on the 38th year, well, it just diminishes. No, the power is still there if we're ready to do what God wants us to do, as the Old Testament prophets moved as God directed them. We don't have to pray that God endue us with power, because we already have the power to function in the supernatural. It's not a matter of, we got to get this thing going and then we'll get enough power going. We're not, only Sundays do we have that kind of power. No. There are three things that make us a part of the bride of Christ. Number one, we accept his proposal, and then we turn our lives around through repentance, separating ourselves or cleansing ourselves only for him. Number two, we take on the name of the groom in baptism. We're baptized in Jesus' name, and we put on the wedding garments, having our sins washed away. Show me someplace in the Bible where our sins are taken away other than in baptism in the name of Jesus. Every time someone is baptized in the New Testament, we're talking about after the reading of the will, they were all either rebaptized or baptized in the name of Jesus. And it wasn't just an outward sign of an inner work, but it is a washing away of our sins. Because until that happens, you want to get close to God, and something stops us from getting close to God. Even though God longs to touch us, he can't until the sin question is taken care of. Number three, when the marriage is consummated by the infilling of the Holy Ghost and we speak in another language, that may offend a whole lot of people because they haven't experienced it, but you know what? God wants everybody to experience it. This is done in private in the bedchamber of the groom. This is a consummation of the marriage vows that were taken. Not just anyone that confesses Christ is allowed in the bedchamber, in the intimacy of God, you see. And that just brings us close to God. Take a look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, please. Matthew 11, verse number 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? I know there are people come to our church all of the time to see what this Pentecost is all about. The crazy people. We cannot disappoint people who think we're crazy. Amen. We cannot have a normal denominational church service, or they won't recognize who we are. What do you expect? Amen. Bunch of people sitting on a pew? Is that what you came to see? Hallelujah. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet. Amen. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This scripture has always just dazzled my mind, because what God is saying is there isn't anybody that has ever been born on the face of the earth that is better, that is more right with God than John the Baptist. But you know what? The least of the saints, the person who has the least authority coming into church, is greater than John the Baptist. Well, why? Because John the Baptist was never baptized in Jesus' name. He's still in the Old Testament. He was a friend of the groom, but he was not a part of the bride. Hallelujah. So if you're sitting there this morning and thinking, who am I? What am I? You know, you have the Holy Ghost. You are greater than John the Baptist according to the scripture. John was not a part of the inner chamber, only accessed by the bride. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. In life, there is always restricted areas. Notice, you know, some places have no admittance without special clearance. If I'm in an airport, you know, there are special rooms that only people who are on a high level, who buy first class seating, can go into and have free beverages and a place to rest outside of all of the crowds in the terminal. Banks have special access to special depository rooms, high security areas. We heard all of the time about the green zone in Baghdad that was so protected that no one could get in without a pass. You can't get into the White House without a pass. Years ago, we went to a number of rallies for Governor Walker, and Brother Bowman and I had special passes that allowed us into a certain area that only those with those credentials could get into and actually approach the governor. And so it is with God. He has certain restricted areas, and only the ones with the proper credentials can get in there. Certain prophets of the Old Testament were given security clearance to access restricted areas and conduct commerce with Almighty God. They spake face to face with God, even though the common man couldn't have an audience with God. They were taken to a place like Mount Sinai that no one else had access to. It was Moses and Joshua who had access to that mountain, but the people, I'm sorry, you don't have the clearance, you don't have the access in order to get there. There were restricted areas in the Old Testament that only the priesthood could enter in. Only the Levitical order had right to enter, such as beyond the veil into the restricted area of the holiest of holies. You know, I'd like to get it. I'm sorry, you weren't born into the Levitical priesthood, so you can't get into the holies. But I really want, no, I'm sorry, there's restricted areas you can't. You stay in the outer court. Religion today keeps a lot of people out. You stay, I'll let you know what God would tell you. No, that's not it. No matter how badly someone wanted to go beyond a veil, it was a restricted area just for those who were born into it that could approach. But today, this morning, God has granted access to what was once a restricted area. We have all become high priests according to the word of God. Everyone can enter into the kingdom of God, not just because we know the name of Jesus, not just because we want to be close to him, not because we go to church or we do good works, but because we have been born of the water and born of the Spirit, now we can enter into the kingdom or the realm of God. We have access to God day or night, anytime we want. We can say, Jesus, I want to have an audience with you. Hallelujah. You don't realize how privileged we are that we have access to God day or night, folks. It's called the pastor because we got a real problem here. No, you can walk into the presence of God. You can make your own request. It doesn't have to go through a man of God because you are a man or a woman of God. Amen. Amen. John chapter 3. Verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees. Here's a religious guy named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The word ruler means first in rank and power. The same came to Jesus by night. Why? Well, he didn't want all of the other guys that were, you know, in this religious realm to know that he needed something from this carpenter. And said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Jesus did not answer him the way he wanted him to answer him. It was all off subject completely. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, this is the religious man, saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He wasn't talking about the flesh. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't get close to God. You can't experience. You can't see. You can't enter into this special access place, except you're born of the water, which is baptism, born of the Spirit, which is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So let's not confuse, well, the water is the water of the womb. No, this is the water of baptism. He goes on to say, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He clarifies the third time you have to be born again. And here we have religion that says that's not important. Just acknowledge him. Just accept him. No. Nicodemus accepted him. Saul accepted him. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Just accept me. No. Go to a street called Straight. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, when they translated this, I guess they just didn't understand. They hadn't entered into. They didn't have access to. So the word sound there in the Greek is only one word meaning language. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the language thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we feel the Holy Ghost. We can't see the Holy Ghost. But when anyone is filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a sound. A sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled them, and they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. I thank God that I entered in. I thank God I have access.
Amen.
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 If you have access to special places, that's great. That's wonderful. But the greatest place to have access to is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The question is, how close do you want to get to the King?
Right.
That's it, folks.
Amen.
Well, I'm coming to church. God should be very happy that I show up. And I'm very faithful. I try to live the best that I can. But you're living way below your privilege. You can get close to God. Amen.
Amen.
I've talked to people about the things of God. I can't tell you how many times tears start running down their cheeks. And they're saying, look at my arm. The hair just standing up. You know why? They got close to God. There's a God that lives inside of us. And when God comes close to people, something happens. Whoa, I'm feeling something I have never felt before. Hallelujah. Are we content to live in his domain but never get close to the bridegroom's chamber? Listen, at no point has Jesus ever put back the restrictions on who can enter into the kingdom of God. No restrictions on how close we can really get to God. Some are satisfied with a casual relationship, but God wants to take you to his secret place.
Amen.
If you have been born of the water and the Spirit, you have privileged access to what used to be a restricted area.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. No, can't go any further than this. You know, guards at the door. I'm sorry. Do you have a special pass? Yes, I do.
Amen.
You see the name of Jesus on me?
Right.
Angels do.
Amen.
He's given us a name that is above every name, that we have access not only to his presence, but we have access to miracles. We have access to healings. We have access to the gifts of the Spirit. We have access to knowledge that others do not have access. We have a special access, so our ears are now hearing what we never saw, heard, or our eyes to things that we have never seen before. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians? Now, this really is my favorite scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is Paul. Verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Well, how'd you get there? How'd you get into that place? I have special access. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up in the third heaven. So he's talking about himself, but he doesn't want to brag. He doesn't want to flaunt his revelation, the things that God has shown him. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught or lifted up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me to be, or that he heareth of me. So we find that Paul gets access to a third heaven, a place that most people have never, ever experienced. He can't even describe it. He's saying words cannot describe what I experienced. And I don't want to glorify myself because, you know, of what's going on. The question is, how high? How high do you want to go?
Amen.
How deep do you want to go?
Amen.
What do you want to experience? God's not saying, okay, all you licensed ministers, man, you can really come on up. No, he's saying, I have given everyone access to the kingdom of God. You can go as high as you want, folks. You can get as close to me as you want. You can go into the inner. God hasn't put any restrictions on us. When Jesus began to talk about the kingdom of God and the cost of discipleship. See, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. But I want you to cleanse yourself. Matthew 7 and 21, Jesus said, in that day many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. But he that doeth the will of God. Now, I know what happens in the flesh. We put barriers up. God doesn't put barriers up. I'll only go so far. I know that God would want me to do this. I know it's in the Word of God, but you know what? I don't want to do that. And so we limit our access. God doesn't limit our access, but we limit our access. Oh, I hear the pastor saying tithes and offerings every week. I can't do that. Oh, I know I should dress the right way, and I know I should wear my hair the right way, but I don't know if that's it. You're limiting the access to great power and function. You're limiting access to a treasury of God that other people don't have access to, but you can have it.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So when Jesus began to talk to his disciples about the cost, one by one, they began to leave. Oh, access is available, but restrictions to the life still apply. And the only ones who can stop us from gaining full access to God is us, not him. One day, we get to the place where we see the Lord, and perhaps you'll say, why didn't you come up further? Why didn't you ask? God says to Nathan, the prophet, to David, hey, if you just would have asked, I'd have given you whatever you wanted. But you did it the wrong way. You desired something that you should not have desired. And now, you see, there's a restricted life, and there will be many who will say those things aren't important anymore. Okay, you can accept that if you want, but then you restrict your access. Giving rather than getting, feeding rather than feasting, dying rather than dining, we will just stay at the edge of the kingdom, and then we'll barely make it in the rapture. I don't want that to be the case. This is a fun trip, folks. It really is. The way of the sinner is hard, not the saint. People can't be content to live at base camp when there is a mountain to climb and a higher perspective of God. How much of God do you want? You know, that's the only question. I don't want to view Christ through a telescope when he wants us to use a microscope. You know, I know he's out there someplace. No, I want to know him for myself. Pastor, just don't tell me about the stories of Christ. Let me have my own stories. Hallelujah. You see, when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we all now have access to what once was a very restricted area for most people in the world, and even a lot of people today that don't realize that they need a special pass in order to get there. However, there seems to be an inner circle of believers that just get closer to God. Is there a special knock in order to get, you know, what's the password? No, no, it's not a special password. It's not a special dispensation. It's not the shaking of the pastor's hand. It's just being a little tenacious. You know what? I think I'm going to start coming to morning prayer. You know what? I'm going to go to Sunday night service and maybe even Wednesdays. Why? Because I can. I can have access. If you don't want to, that's fine. You don't want to come to my party, that's fine. But we're having cake. We might have miracles. We got gifts for everybody. Why wouldn't you want to come to a party that God has invited you to and say, no restrictions here? Hallelujah. It seems like there is that inner circle within every church that there are some people who just want to climb higher, get closer. We know who you are. When Jesus went to Jairus' house to resurrect his daughter, he only permitted Peter, James, and John to go in with him. And here we have nine other apostles saying, what's the deal here? How come? How come they get to go in? I would feel a little slighted. There's people jumping around here and song service and getting all crazy, and some of you back there should say, how come I can't do that? Well, what's the problem? How come I'm not invited? That's just dumb. When Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration, once again, he only invited Peter, James, and John. And they came back and said, oh, you should have seen what we saw. It was absolutely incredible. I don't know. I guess God just doesn't like me as much as everybody else, you know. Hey. Why don't you step out of the boat and walk to me on water? Okay, Peter said, I'll come. If you bid me, I'll come. Why? Because he had access, but so did all of the other apostles have access. Now, God doesn't require perfection to enter into the miraculous. And that's our problem. We think if I only was a more perfect individual, I could have more access to God. But God does insist on desire and persistence. And their desire and persistence affords them perks and privileges that others don't. Amen. There's a special line in the airport terminals for those who have special privileges to go through without having their bags checked. And whenever I fly, I try to go through that special line, but it costs me something in order to do that. All the other ones have this line, and they wait and they wait in order to get through. No thanks. With God, it's no lines, no waiting. In the middle of the sermon, there's no lines, no waiting. It's not because somebody restricted your access to the altar during the preaching of the word or even during the offering. You can get to wherever you want with God, anytime you want with God. I taught a lady a Bible study over 40 years ago in my office at a bank that I was working in. I kept witnessing to her. She said to me, you know, if I come to your church, will I become like you? You know. I said, it could happen. You know, those are the problems, you know. And so finally, she decided that she would come on a Wednesday night because she thought, well, God probably wouldn't jump on her on a Wednesday night like he would on a Sunday morning. And so she came, you know, sat through the song service. But during the offering, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. God doesn't reward status or seniority. And some people think because I've been in the church all these years, I have special status. No. Diligence. Faithfulness. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. On the day you seek him with all your heart, the first commandment is love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is pretty much an all or nothing situation. So how close do you want to get? As close as you want. The inner circle is not a conference room. It's a closet chamber. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, enter into the closet, thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which is seeth shall reward thee openly. You can't fit many in a closet. Generally, it's two. You know, it gets pretty tight. I found over the years, the more crowded the church is, the greater the move of God. When we went from our little building in Sturtevant to our first building here, which was half the size, we were just sporadic, perhaps like we are this morning. And we had dynamic moves in that little church. But then when we got into this building, it seemed like nothing's happening, you know? And I threatened that we go back to the old building so we could have the church that we once had. So it seems like we go from the outer court to the holy place to the holiest of holy. It gets smaller and smaller and more restrictions and more power. If you take a river and bring the banks in, woo, you know, take the banks out, nothing seems to happen. So the more restrictions you allow in your life, the greater access we have to the things of God. No one's going to force you. It's not a banquet hall where everyone is invited. No, you first enter through your own closet with Jesus, you see. Jesus is still looking for a few good men and women that he can personally invite to some special miracle or event in your life. A modern day Mary and Martha. Peter, James, and John.
Amen.
He's selective. Who couldn't keep their hands off of Jesus. Not miracle chasers.
Amen.
But Jesus chasers. See, if you're chasing Jesus, these signs shall follow them that follow him,
Amen.
You see. To them, church doesn't start on Sunday mornings and conclude on Sunday night. Their home is a sanctuary of praise,
Amen.
On call, 24 hours a day. Sometimes this is a lonely path because others may not understand why or what you're doing, but these are the people which make up the inner circle of God.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, there were thousands and thousands of people that witnessed all of the miracles, but there were 12 who decided, you know what? I'm setting aside my life for his life. They, like Moses, have stood in the cleft of a rock and beheld the glory of God, able to enter into a depth of the kingdom of God without any kind of restrictions beyond what we could ask or even think, according to the power that lives within us. Could you make up a part of his inner circle? Not just the crowd.
Amen.
Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If the sun ever comes out in Wisconsin again, and you want to be close to me, within a shadow's length, that's close. If you want to get close to the sun, the radiant God that we serve,
Amen.
You have to get close enough so his shadow is on you. Because he wants you to have full access, not only to him, but all of the benefits of knowing him. Would you stand with me, please?
Amen.
Lately, I've been thinking, I could have been born 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago, but I have been born in a time of the closing days of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wasn't an accident for you or me.
Amen.
He has placed us in a time frame where we could have the greatest dimension. Even 2,000 years ago, if I wanted to get close to God, unless I was born into the Levitical order, I couldn't have that same access. But today, he's not a respecter of any persons, the Bible says, but all have access to the kingdom of God. Amen. So if I go to the airport and I have this coach ticket, and they say to me, you know what? I don't know what happened here, but it looks like you got first class. I could say, nah. I'd rather sit and coach. That's not smart. You could go first class. He's paid the fare for you to go first class, folks. Amen. The altar's open.